Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I thought we had an opening, but this is Deb Evans coming to you live from Houston, Texas, and you have joined Social Geek Radio. And is my co-host with me, Jack Munson?
Yes. Hello, geeks. Jack is here. I think we lost our theme song. Maybe
I know.
Maybe our house band took the week off. You know, it is the week before Labor Day, and most of the world is on vacation or on holiday or doing something except for working, except for Deb, Jack, and tonight's guests. So welcome to Social Geek Radio. Deb, we've got a pretty busy week coming up next week, right? With some cool geeky conferences and events in and outside of the franchising space. What are you up to?
So next week, the Winning Franchise Network, they meet quarterly, and we're going to meet here in Houston. And we're very fortunate to have Christian Brothers Automotive hosting our event, and it's certainly open to men and women. I love the topic. The panel is going to speak on the importance of culture when building high-performance teams. And we actually have two franchisors and two franchisees on the panel. So Shannon Wilburn is flying in from Tulsa, Oklahoma. She is the franchisor for Just Between Friends. The other franchisor panel member is Rose Morlock. She is the VP of Children Learning Adventure here in Houston. And then our two franchisees on the panel will be Kim Sturr with Christian Brothers Automotive and Diana Vasquez with Pino's Talent. So we've got a powerhouse panel, and I've seen their presentation pieces that they're going to be presenting, and I think it's going to be a really dynamite session and networking event. So that's next Wednesday at Christian Brothers.
Sounds like a great event, and once again, the Houston franchise community is really sort of, in my opinion, leading the nation as far as some of the local events and local conferences and things like that. I think a lot of other cities really should be taking their lead from Houston these days.
Yeah. We are expanding and growing, which is really, really good.
Great.
So
and on the geeky and
up?
Yeah, on the geeky and tech side of our world, next week I'll be at Media Tech Summit, which is part of the big social and mobile broader event happening in Las Vegas next week. So if anybody's going to be attending the Media Tech Summit, hashtag is MTS15. Please hit me up on Twitter or LinkedIn, and let's chat before or after the summit. It will be at the Venetian and the Sands Convention Center in Las Vegas. We'll be there all next week with the Minolto team. So, again, if you're going to be attending any of those events in Vegas, let me know. Would love to chat and talk a little bit about Social Geek with you. So nice end of summer, opening fall events happening. And why don't we jump right into tonight's topic? And Deb, you want to introduce our guest?
I will. So we're going to talk about the top three email frustrations. And our guest tonight is someone that is well-known in franchising, Nancy Friedman, a.k.a. the Telephone Doctor. Nancy presents, she has presented at IFA as a keynote, but she talks to companies about programs about their customer service and inbound leads and sales and delivering better customer service. And we asked her to join us tonight because we have not had a discussion on email in a long time. So Nancy, it's nice to have you with us tonight. Thank you.
And that was you can be my agent. That was a great introduction. You want to travel town with me? That was good.
you go to some pretty cool conferences, so I would be more than happy to be your your social agent.
We have been blessed. We have been blessed, and I am, like everybody says, always excited to be here with you two. I have listened to several of these sessions, and it's always lively and fun. And I do bring some really, really, really good. I hate to call it stuff because I get mad when people say, "Oh, I love your stuff, Nancy." It's not stuff. It's good material. So, but it is good stuff tonight on email. And just so you know, that the telephone, in my mind, was the original social media many years ago. So
sure.
It was. That's the only piece of social media that we had then, outside of maybe the Western Union. But I always feel that we didn't start it, but I always feel good that we're in it. But we got a lot of good stuff to go. You tell me what you want to talk about first. And
well, I was going to say, tell us more about the Telephone Doctor. I mean, so you've been in business for a while, and the business is called the Telephone Doctor. But why the Telephone Doctor? What is it that you're – what are you curing when you talk to the business?
We have I could give you the hour speech or the six-minute speech, and I think I'll do the 3 to 5 minute one because I have so much information. But how I became the Telephone Doctor is a great story. And I also want our listeners to know that we were a franchisor many years ago. We had five franchisees. Four we let go very quickly, and one we kept too long. So most people understand that when they're franchisors. But the bottom line is about 25, 30 years ago, I picked up my telephone, and I called my insurance agent, and I told him to cancel all my policies. No small job. We were his largest account. He said, "My gosh, Nancy, what happened?" So I just told him, "Your people stink. They're so rude. They're so abrupt. They're so unfriendly. So, and I just don't want to deal with you." He says, "You know what? You're right. When I call your office, I'm treated like a king, and I'm not even a customer." I said, "Michael, we treat our wrong numbers better than you treat your customers." Well, he asked me to come over and show. Yeah, he asked me to come over and show what his folks did, and I did. I went there, and I said things like, you know, at our office we say please, and one woman said, "Hilda, write that down. That's a good one. We say thank you. We say you're welcome." Anyway, bottom line, I said, "Thank you very much. I got to go." The president of the insurance company calls me back. He says, "My gosh, Nancy, thank you. We really learned some new things." I came home, told my husband what happened, and he said, "Don't ever be surprised, Nancy. No one ever showed them." Well, the bottom line is one of our clients in Davenport, Iowa, asked what I was doing, and I told him about the insurance story, and he said, "Would you come to my office?" So I went up to Davenport, Iowa, and delivered four programs. First program was delivered only to management because Bob, the general manager of the newspaper, said, "I want this to start at the top. It must start at the top. It cannot dribble down. It's got to dribble down. It cannot dribble up." So I presented the first program to all the managers of the Quad City Times in Davenport, Iowa, and when I was done, the editor of the Quad City Times walked over to me, stuck his finger in my face. He says, "You know, you're very, very good. He says, you sure got all the cures." He said, "I'm going to call you the Telephone Doctor." And I came running home to Dick. I said, "Dick, somebody called me the Telephone Doctor. What do we do?" And he said, without missing a beat, "Let's go get it registered." So we got it registered, and we've been running around the country, working with corporations, associations, franchisees, et cetera, helping companies communicate better with their customers. We're selling common sense. What I'm doing isn't rocket science. It's not brain surgery. It's plain old common sense, and you know it as well as I know it. It's not out there. When I'm normally done with a program, people come up to me, "Have you called my cable company? Have you called my doctor's office?" So I like to stick to the basics. I don't want people scratching their heads when they walk out of a Nancy program. I want people to say, "Wow, I forgot about that," or "That's a new one." So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to just talk about plain old common sense. I was in a cab a while back, and this is cute. I had a little my name on my briefcase, Telephone Doctor, and the guy turns to me. He said, "I apologize, but what the heck is a Telephone Doctor?" And I said, "Well, I go around the country training corporations to do a better job when the public calls, and just in general treat their customers very, very special." And he turns around and he looks at me and said, "You must be very busy." So we are very busy. We are very busy and blessed. I'm blessed with the franchise community having picked up, I mean, the list of, and you're talking about Christian Brothers. They're a great, great client, David Eichbach. If you see him, tell him I said hello. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a name dropper, but I will. We've worked at Subway twice, Housemaster, Jets, a Minuteman Press was just awesome, CarStar, Hand and Stone, Cleaning Authority, Jackson Hewitt. So I'm ready to go and give back now, help anybody I can, obviously, with these tips and anything to do with communications. I believe in Shoemaker, stick to your last. I'm not going to go to an area that people have called me and said, "Do you speak on blah, blah, blah?" Well, I don't. So we're very good at what we do. Telephone Doctor has stuck to their niche, if you will, and thankfully become pretty good leaders in the field of communications and customer service.
And Nancy, you pretty much focus the communications on telephone and email. Any other areas that you're doing a lot in, or are those the main places?
That's a great question. I was going to get to that. There are 6 touch points of communication, and I'm going to say, I made it rhyme in case anybody is listening. No matter who's listening, they can write it down. There are 6 touch points of communication, 6 ways we communicate with each other, and that's email, voicemail, snail mail, phone, fax, and face-to-face. Now, what did I leave out? I left out texting and social media. I'm starting to include it now, but I won't go into the reasons I left texting out. It's just that it's not in the mainstream of business yet. Business. In other words, I don't know about you, but people call up and say, Nancy, I want a quote on you coming out to speak. Well, I don't send it by text. My salespeople who are selling online training don't send a text. You know, we send an email or we send a letter. So texting is great. Hey, Deb, coming to Houston, want to go to lunch? Email, text back, yes, where, when, blah, blah, blah. Now, if the client says, text me the proposal, go ahead and do it. But it's not in the mainstream yet. It may get there, but we have the 6 touch points, email, voicemail, snail mail, phone, fax, face-to-face. Of those 6 touch points, 2 are what we call synchronous, meaning immediate answer, and that is face-to-face and when you get me on the telephone. So you want to go to lunch with me, you either walk into my office and say, Nancy, you want to go to lunch? I give you a quick answer. If you email me, I may not be there, I may not have my watch on, I may not have my phone with me. So you will wait for an answer in most of the other 4 other touch points. So just understand that the 6 touch points of communication, 2 are what we call synchronous and 4 are asynchronous. I've missed texts. You go in a meeting, you don't get a text, you just don't get it. So people forget about that. They think it's all instant. It's not all instant. And then you've got your other social media, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. I'm pretty good on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. And Facebook is, okay. And Twitter, I'm still learning. So that's a lesson I still need. I mean, I'm doing it with at Telephone Doctor. If anybody wants to tweet, twit, whatever you call it. No, I'm good. I put our customer service tip of the day out. You have an infectious laugh too, Deb. I put a customer service tip out on all my social media. I love to link in with people. If Jack were LinkedIn, and Deb, of course, we are. I find LinkedIn an extremely valuable lead connection, sales connection. I have made sales off LinkedIn, and it could move in the right direction. But I want to make sure we stay, you know, between Deb and I, we probably could talk for 2 hours and forget what subject we're talking about here.
Well, I'll remind everyone then. Tonight's subject is email frustrations, and you are going to tell us a bit about your top 3 email frustrations. And
right.
I know I have about 3,000 email frustrations, so I'm hoping that some of them will be solved cured by the doctor tonight. So tell us about your top email frustrations, Nancy.
I apologize. These are frustrations. I don't make these up. I survey audiences and we survey our clients all around the country. So when we come up with statements, they're not things that Nancy dreamt of under the shower and just thinking, oh, I think I'll make this up. No, everything we have is qualified. So the top 3, and a little drum roll. Oh, you don't have a drum roll. Okay.
There we go.
Okay, great. The top one that came up in our surveys was spelling and grammar.
Mm.
Spelling and grammar. Now, that being said, and I there's a couple words I try not to use in my life, and they're not dirty words, but they're words that are ineffective. And one of the most ineffective words is the word stupid. I never call anybody stupid. I don't like to be called stupid. But when you misspell a word or you use bad grammar or wrong grammar, it makes us look stupid. And there's no other word for it. There's no other word for it. So proofing is enormously important. If you're not a good speller, obviously, we always say use your spell check, but you know how many people don't use their spell check as they should. And then you've got the problem of your, there, here, you know, the words that are the same. And those are red flags. Number one, it says I didn't read my email, I didn't check my email, or I am stupid and I don't know which one to use. The way that we can help people on that is There's an old saying for writers, and if you write, you know what I'm talking about. When in doubt, leave it out. I have problem with the word accept and accept. And that's I have to stop and think, okay, what does it mean? So instead, I just use another word. I don't want to spend the time, the energy. Now, which is right? Is it ACC? Susie, can you help me here? So I just eliminate it. So if you're having trouble with the wrong, and you watch, not Twitter so much, but Facebook is constantly filled with wrong grammars. And it, to me, stands out like a red light on whatever you're using. And when I get one, I just think, yeah, we pass it over. We say, oh, everybody makes mistakes. But, you know, it doesn't have to be, is the bottom line.
Right.
So that's number one.
Before you move on, I just want to tell you that I do have someone in our chat tonight, and I will say Nancy is dead on. Bad spelling and grammar is one of my biggest pet peeves. Poop, people, poop. So you hit the nail on the head. It's like, let's proof our work. So.
Yeah, and thank you. And by the way, if anybody wants me, we can give my information out at the end, of course, but I'm very, very, very reachable, very accessible, as they say. Number two, a little drum roll. Brum, bum, bum. Jack, you did that well. Okay. Okay, Jack, that's enough.
Solo comes later.
I was really surprised, but it came up as wrong subject lines. And after we talked and interviewed the people, the reason is because they're looking, if you change topic within the body of the copy, take the literally 3 to 5 seconds to change the subject line. You'll keep track of them better. You know, if you change from, do you want to go to lunch on the subject line to thanks for the order, change the subject line or put a slash. Want to go to lunch? Thanks for the order. So you can use a slash. You can have 2 subject lines there. And talking about subject lines, and I'm not an expert on this. There are better people than me on this, but we know that putting the right subject line, especially on, forgive the word, a cold email, you're sending out a blast email to your clients for leads or for whatever, the subject line is the most critical. The subject line is the most critical. And I've had subject lines come wrongly spelled, misspelled, poor English, too long a subject line. So, but the wrong subject line, if you're talking to me about one topic and the topic changes in the body, and I want to find that email, when I go back to look under my little files there, I can't find it because you're not telling me what the subject was.
Right,
did I make myself clear on that? So it's okay to put a slash. You know, I changed the subject from lunch to thank you for your order. The third one, and believe me, I've got 19 of them here, so I'm not going to run out of anything. Well, we have, I think, one of the only programs in our online training on email errors. And it's done in a whiteboard fashion. It's quite fun. But anyway, bottom line, 2 long postings that go on like the sequel to Gone with the Wind. We all know where we're dealing, you know, with an iPad, the iWatch now, iPhone, and we don't have a lot of room for long, involved emails. If you have something that long, go ahead and attach it. Because we all travel, and you can watch people on their iPhone. It's delete, 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 delete. Sat next to a guy, says, you're deleting so much. He says, it's just too long. I don't have the time to read them.
Right.
So be careful. We know for a fact and we use email a lot to introduce the telephone doctor product, my speaking. Their emails should be, if you look at your screen, you should have your whole email with your signature on that screen. You should be able to see it.
Your whole screen looking at a smartphone or looking at a desktop, do you think?
At a desktop. That's normally when you're doing it, because I would say that 50% of the people are, you know, going to get it at your desktop. We can't control how they're going to receive it, of course. However, I'm just talking about 2 long postings.
Let me put it in the form of a question. It seems to me like reading their email on a phone, even though we're sending the email from a desktop, would it also be wise to make sure whatever the most important part of that email is something that, that actually appears
first.
On, you know, I guess you would say above the fold, right?
Absolutely.
In an email,
you know,
on the phone, because so many people just look at that, and if your first sentence is, you know, hey, how are you? How's the weather? Not, you know, and it's not important stuff, it may get deleted, and you've got a very important question that
you've got
they're not
to get
scrolling
to the
down.
Point. Yeah,
right.
You've got to get to the point on that email. In other words, and I'm going back to my speaking because that's what I do for a living. If I were to call somebody who's thinking about me, my first would be, "Hi, Bob. Trusting I'm on the radar screen for the October conference. Looking forward to talking with you." I mean, A, if you're in sales, you don't need to beat around the bush. People know you're in sales. They know you want to sell something. You always want to buffer it with some sort of social grace. People not using "Hi, Deb," or "Hi, Jack," or "Hi, Bob," or "Hi, Nancy," that's not a great thing. Just blurting out, "Hey, am I on the radar screen?" That's not a good thing. But that's sort of like, you know, not buying the girl a drink before you gotta warm them up.
Right.
I got a new. Anyway, bottom line. So that was. Those are the top three. But it's interesting. And you're right. The opening lines absolutely needs to be. Not perfect, but strong.
Yeah.
Another topic,
yeah.
And that another thing that's on the list, and so many people use it. By the way, you said, "Hi, how are you?" That's forbidden in telephone doctor language. Those are four useless words. And I will stand behind that, and next time you see me speak, Jack, I can explain why. "Hi, how are you?" is sort of social noise. It's a nicety, but it's, "Hi, how are you?" "Fine, how are you?" Okay. Nothing got done. There was no value to those three words, "Hi, how are you?" four words. But I want to caution people because the other, when we're writing emails, and this can be from franchisors to franchisees, this can be internally, this can be friendship, and that's avoiding the use of what we call weak, wimpy words. What are they? Well, I got a whole list of them, but things that come to my mind now.
I
think
bet I know
you'll
one
enjoy.
Of them.
I saw
one of your posts the other day, and I loved it. The word "just." Is that one of them? Yeah,
absolutely.
I love that one.
Thank you.
Was a great point.
This is just a note. You're not going to get a thank you. You'll get a thank you note from me, but it won't say "just a note to say I enjoyed being on the program." It won't say that. Just weakens the statement. So it'll be, "Jack, Deb, just read it without the "just." "I enjoyed being with you." Just, you know, I don't even have to say "just a note" or "just a note to say." But it's a note. You see it's a note. I mean, you're not stupid. You know it's a note. So,
and it's kind of passive and just mushy, right?
Yeah, and every time you write it and you look at it, I believe you will see it can be removed. It can be removed.
Mm-hmm.
So the other one that people use so much, and I'm watching the politicians here in their debates to see how often they do it, and that's the word, "I think you'll be good. I think you'll like this. I think this is a good opportunity for you." Bull! If you believe in something, use the word "I believe you will be excellent at this." I believe it's a belief. It's not a think. Now, we got a whole list in our office at everybody's desk of weak, wimpy words because we don't want them to use it. And the fun thing about telephone doctor, our tips are, for the phones anyway, are available. You can just put them by the side of your computer or in front of your phone because nobody knows they're there. So you don't have to memorize anything. My absolute, yours was "just Jack"?
Yeah.
"Just Jack," that's hard to say. Mine is when I ask somebody to do something and they say, "Well, I'll try and do my best." But you know what? I don't need you to. You got to do your best. And I had a secretary who said that. I said, "Can you get me this?" She said, "Well, I'll try and do it." I said, no, just go do it. I mean, Nike's got it right. Just do it.
I don't understand
this. And in customer service, when you ask somebody behind the clerk at a store and they say, "Well, I'll do my best. I'll try and do my best." Oh, okay. This time, try.
I'm assuming you're going to do your best. Even if you fail, that might, you know, that's okay. People
exactly.
fail, but I would assume
exactly.
you're still going to do your best.
But there's a whole list, and I urge people to write your own weak, wimpy words. Yeah, I've got them for you. Think, maybe, possibly. Those are hedgy ones. Here's another one that rips people and they don't like it. You people used to ask me all the time, Nancy, what do you think of people who don't return a phone call? And my answer would be not very much. Not to return? I don't understand it. Well, I'm so busy, Nancy. You don't know how many phone calls I get. You know what the answer to that is? Thank God. You get a lot of phone calls.
Right.
People that complain about being busy. I don't understand that. So the bottom line is not return a phone call. Now it's the guy never answers my email. How can you not answer an email with one word, which I don't like one words, but got it, good, thanks, bye.
Yeah.
I mean,
on it.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. You're talking literally seconds. It's a K. If you just want the letter K, acknowledgement that the message was received. And that's when I take surveys and go through the audience and ask for new ones, that comes up a lot. The guy didn't return my emails. I don't know if he got it or not. So you can go through the trouble of
yeah.
the receipt. Send, receive, or hit the, you know, tell me he got
well,
it type
and the,
thing.
And the thing with that is that, and I sent a proposal earlier this week, and I'm assuming it was received, and
right. They
didn't acknowledge it. So at what point do, you know, I sent it Monday, so by Friday do I send a note that says something to the fact, you know, I sent you an email, wanted to make sure that you received it. I mean,
way too many words. Way too many words, baby. Way too
well,
many words.
And so that's what I'm asking. What do I do?
Yeah. You say, obviously, send an email. Please, you know, acknowledge receipt. That's all you need to say. Did you receive the email? I use the excuse, well, now everybody will know. Shoot, I hate to say this. It's a little fudge, but it works.
Secrets coming out tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
It is. It works because we had so much trouble with our email system. I would say to Deb, we've had a lot of problem with our emails. I sent you out one for Monday. Did you happen to get it? That's all. And I would say 99% of the time, oh, yeah, I was busy. I didn't get it. I was, you know, everybody's got an excuse. I know we're out of time, and
Let me ask you about that real quick, though, Nancy. Are you seeing that as a growing trend with emails? I know I am with people not responding to an email compared to, you know, 10 years ago.
Well, it's since it's in our list, it's a problem. But there's so much social stuff people are faced with today. I mean, and I didn't even name Instagram and Pinterest and all that other stuff. The three big ones are Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Those are the major ones that you try and communicate franchisor to franchisee and everything else. But as a trend, I hope not. I hope not because that's just rude. It's like, you know, not using your turn signal is rude. Not answering an email is rude. You know, when you go down the highway and the guy butts in front of you and you say, why do you use this turn signal? That was rude. Same thing, ladies and gentlemen, when you don't return your phone calls, when you don't, or have your phone calls returned in your behalf. Okay, we're all busy. I tell my secretary, Valerie, call Deb, tell her I'm traveling. I'll get back to her, see what she needs. Bingo. Deb gets an email or a call from my secretary. It doesn't have to be you. One last one,
sure.
Because I know timeless.
Yes.
And I think
please.
This is very important because it just happened to my husband. He was very, very upset with something and someone. And he wrote an angry email. And he said, Nancy, we have an email. He wrote it. Do not send. Wait 24 hours. Write it. Don't hit send. So, ladies and gentlemen, we all get frustrated with people, our kids, our family, our clients. Write it. Don't send it. Save it to draft. Put it in task. You will feel differently 24 hours later. You can change the words. Soften it. Be nicer. Nancy Friedman, St. Louis, Missouri, telephone doctor. Love you all.
Excellent.
All right.
But Nancy, thanks so much for joining us on Social Geek Radio. In the last minute we have left, where's a good place where people can find you? LinkedIn, website, where would you prefer to send
Thank
people
you.
To
I,
get more
I
information?
Appreciate, well, I would love for them to call me. I love phone calls because I'm the telephone doctor, and that's 314 St. Louis, Missouri. We are Central Time, 291-1012. Nancy@telephonedoctor.com, and of course nancyfriedman.com is the website. I apologize for the testimonials. They look like my mother wrote them, but I am blessed with happy clients. I am blessed
They're
to have
all
happy clients.
Good. They're all good.
And well, anybody who calls in the show will get a free book. How's that?
Oh, right on.
Oh,
love that. Well,
that's very
in that
good.
Case, let's give the phone number out again, 314-291-1012. Nancy Friedman, she is the telephone doctor. Thanks so much for joining Social Geek Radio tonight, Nancy.
My pleasure.
Thank
all
you,
right. Continued success. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Have a great night, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And happy Labor Day.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.